born, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus. For the law of sin and death, Romans 8, verse 1 and 2.
Thank you. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his word. This morning, we're going to talk about forgiving someone that we know everything about that person. We have witnessed their actions. We even know their hidden thoughts and intentions. We know their secret offenses. You know, all the things that they think about other people. We know all the things that they have done bad. We also know that they have felt regret and pain. And often they feel very deep remorse for the things that they have done and said and even the things that they have thought. This morning we're going to talk about forgiving ourselves. You are the subject of this message. Now, when I think about forgiveness, I connect that to baggage. You know, when you go on a trip and you pack up a few things according to how long you're going to stay, there's certain stuff that you have to take with you, you know, clothes, toiletries, all that kind of stuff. Those basic things you carry with you. But then you start thinking, well, what if this? So you get an extra pair of clothes, you get an extra pair of socks, you get an extra pair of shoes, maybe we're going to walk on the beach, and you start putting all these extra things in the luggage. When we travel, maybe we carry some of our work with us. I might get a little time, and I can work on a little something. So we put that in the baggage. And what we end up with is a lot of extra weight that we're going to have to carry around with us, extra baggage that we feel that we have to deal with on our journey. Well, that's a great illustration for life. We, in this life, we're stuck carrying around extra baggage, things that we don't need, things that aren't good for us. And the truth is, we don't know how to deal with it. You know, if you take your work with you, you got to keep a good eye. You can't leave that at the hotel. You can't leave that in the Uber. You need to make sure that you have it with you. So you're always constantly thinking about the baggage. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. How do I get rid of the extra baggage that I've been carrying around for so long in my life? Now, in this series on forgiveness, we have talked about our need of forgiveness from God. That's first and foremost. But along with that, Jesus commanded us to forgive others. So we talked about that last week. And now we're completing the series by talking about complete forgiveness comes when we forgive ourselves. And here's the truth. I told some people, I said, I'm going to really blow your mind today. You ready for it? The Bible is silent about forgiving yourself. Yeah, there's nothing. I haven't found anything. If you find something, please send it to me. I'd like to read it. But it's the absolute truth. There's no verse in the Bible that teaches us the need to forgive ourselves. The reason is the very definition of forgiveness that I shared with you in the first message. Forgiveness is the act of letting go of something others owe us. So when we repented of our sins, God forgave us of all of our wronging that we have done to him. And then in turn, he calls us to forgive others in the same way. We're to forgive like he forgave us. We're to let go of that. We're to just let it go. The important thing to understand here is that by definition, forgiveness requires two people. The one who offended and the one who releases the offended person. Forgiveness can only be given by the one who has been wronged. So you see our dilemma. We're only one person. How do we do that? We can't forgive ourselves for the wrongs we have done to ourselves. So I guess we'll close in prayer, get our invitation. No, I got a couple more things I'll tell you. Y'all are hoping, huh? Love it. We can't erase the debt that we owe to ourselves. We can't release ourselves. So this is the conundrum that we're in. Forgiveness is not complete until you forgive yourself. Now, how do I do that? What is that? Here's what I've concluded, and this is what I've prepared this message based on. We have to learn how to deal with the guilt that we carry around with us because of the offenses that we have done to God, to others, and to ourselves. Guilt is a self-focused emotion. It involves reflecting on yourself. It can be helpful, it can be harmful. There's good guilt, there's bad guilt. Good guilt keeps you from doing bad things because you don't want that guilt. It just depends on your reasoning. It depends on the degree of the guilt. Signs of guilt, listen to this. Signs of guilt can be low self-esteem. That's number one. We feel bad about ourselves. This is the one that'll get you. Excessive attempts of reparation. Have you ever been that person that goes to God over and over and over and over again about the same sin? Maybe you committed it 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and you keep saying, God, remember that time I did that? You know, I know what God says. God says, no, I don't remember it. I've taken it, cast it into the sea of forgetfulness. No, I don't know what you're talking about. But that's guilt. It keeps bringing that back up into our lives. Another sign is that we're unable to meet someone's gaze. We can't look them in the eye. And not just the one that we offended or the one who offended us. We soon can't look at anybody face to face, eye to eye. A sign of guilt is anxiety, trouble sleeping at night, depressed mood, the avoidance of people, places, events, sometimes that are linked to the cause of the guilt. So let me ask you, dear Christian, have you ever experienced a sin that you felt was just too great for God to forgive you? And therefore, someone close to you isn't forgiving you yourself. You're not forgiving yourself. You see, it is the guilt that was incurred that has you feeling useless, defeated. So why don't we forgive ourselves? That's number one on our outline. Why do we not forgive ourselves? Or better yet, why don't we better deal with our guilt and accept the freedom that God wants us to walk in? Well, let me give you a few reasons this morning. The first one is we may not have really experienced God's forgiveness. Now, I mean that in the sense that you haven't come to salvation, that's true. A person who has not been saved maybe can't experience that. But I'm also talking about you, dear Christian, who you have confessed your sin to God, but you still hang on to it. You just haven't experienced his washing away of that sin. You know in your heart that it's still there. You haven't accepted fully by faith what God and only God can do to forgive you. Another reason, we may think we know something about our sin that God just doesn't know. You know, we start reasoning in our own mind that maybe God didn't see that, or maybe God doesn't know the full depth of what I had said or what I have done. He doesn't know all the details of the sin. Is there something about the fact, the consequences, the motivations, the nature of our sin that you believe you can hide from God? I want to assure you of one thing this morning. God knows everything you have said, everything you have done, everything you have thought, every motive of your heart. He knows it all. He sees it all. A third reason is simply that we are performance-based people. See, we tend to see ourselves on the basis of our accomplishments or our mistakes. We're more interested in our perception than on the character quality that we're to develop. We just live in a works-based society. For both good and bad things, we look at what we do, and we feel we need to work very hard to remedy a bad showing. and turn our evil deed into something good. So what do we try to do? We try to replace the good by doing some, we replace the bad by trying to do some good things. We want to do good deeds. Beloved, God does not forgive us on the basis of our performance. We are not saved by works. We know that. But here's the thing we may not know. We do not stay saved by our works. Tuck that into your heart. We cannot take a scale and say, well, I do more good than bad, so it doesn't matter. We have to understand that God forgives us based on His grace, on His mercy. Another reason is that we don't know how to deal with self-disappointment. See, to be disappointed in a person, you have to expect something from them. Something that they cannot do or that they do not do. But the good news this morning is God doesn't expect you to go through life without failure. I said that to one of my gentlemen out at the center this week. And he took issue with me on that. He says, you don't think that God expects you to be perfect? I said, no, He doesn't. God knows that you're going to fall, stumble, that you're going to sin. God isn't surprised by your failure. God has never been disappointed in you. And if you feel like He has, I'm going to tell you where that came from. That came from your environment, how other people have perceived you, a parent, a sibling, or yourself. God doesn't expect you to come to Him only with a report of a perfect life. In fact, the opposite is true. God expects you to come to Him in your sin and confess your sin so that He can cleanse you of that sin. If you're keeping count, number five, we emotionally adjust to guilt. That's the reason that we can't forgive ourselves. We just emotionally adjust to our guilt. We have lived with it so long that we're afraid to be free of the guilt. We're afraid of letting that go. That becomes our self-identity, the guilt. And if that describes you, I want you to just right now begin to ask God to give you the courage to forgive yourself, to let it go, to be free of that guilt, and live the abundant life that He has called you to live. Number six, we consider ourselves to be exempt or different from other people. Some people think that they have extenuating circumstances about their particular situation that places them above or outside of God's word. That isn't the case. The scripture tells us that God shows no partiality. He says in Acts chapter 10, verse 34, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. God sees you as you are. He accepts you as you are. He wants to change you. He wants to deliver you. He wants to forgive you. He makes all of that available to everybody. You are no different than the person. That's what I love about the gospel message, where it says that all have sinned, all fall short of the glory of God. You're not in a different boat or lifestyle. God loves you, and He died for you. Reason number seven, we expect to sin again. I have to confess, this is mine. We just expect to sin again, and that's why we continue to live in guilt. Our reasoning is that we can't forgive ourselves because we know we are weak. We are bound to fail in the future. Well, guess what? God knows that too. He knows that too, but He still invites us to come to Him for forgiveness. He even told His disciples when Peter thought he was doing a good thing, he goes, should I forgive my brother seven times? He says, no, 70 times seven. Jesus was telling us His grace because He wants to forgive us over and over again. Now, does that give us the freedom to sin? No. Romans chapter 7 says that we are not to continually fall into sin just so that grace may abound. He said, God forbid, heavens no. We ought to work at being filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not falling into that sin. But I don't care how many times it has happened to you. God will forgive you. Number eight, we're living the consequences of our sin on a regular basis. So what we conclude from that is that we cannot be fully forgiven. Let me illustrate this. A man who has been arrested, put on trial, sent to prison, he knows what he has done. He is reminded every day of the consequences of his sin. He wakes up in that same 8x10 cell with that same stainless steel sink, mirror, and toilet. Every day he wakes up to the consequences of his sin. But listen to me, it doesn't take someone who is convicted and in prison to be behind bars. A man who wakes up in the morning in a small apartment instead of in his home with his wife and his children wakes up to the reality of the consequences of his sin of adultery. He realizes, that's why I'm here every day. A person who wakes up with the scars on their body because of the sins that they have committed, these are the realities that they face every day, the consequences of their sin. We may be in prison for what we have done, and we don't know how to be forgiven, how to be freed from the sin, from that image of our bondage that is around us all the time. Sometimes we see the consequences of our sin in someone else's life because of something we have done to them, and every time we see that physical or material or emotional scar, we know that we caused that, and we're reminded of it all the time. So we chastise ourselves each time we see that person struggle. We feel the weight of our sin all over again. Beloved, you need to recognize that you are being held captive by something more than just physical and material. It's an inward restraint. You're being held captive in your heart. And Jesus said, I have come to set you free. Don't keep yourself captive, especially when he has given you the keys to your spiritual prison cell. Another reason we find it hard to forgive ourselves is we have extremely low self-esteem. That's one of the signs of guilt. Low self-esteem. So we don't feel like we deserve anything better. We don't deserve to live a better life. We don't deserve the freedom that we should have in Christ. And we're reluctant to accept what Jesus did for us. And we have very little ability to do something good for ourselves, including forgiving ourselves. Now, if you are in that situation, I want to encourage you, just read the Word of God. Read the many promises that God has for you in Scripture, and not just read them, believe them. Beginning with John chapter 1, verse 12, where he says, to all those that receive him and believed in his name, to them he gives the right to become the child of God. If you are born again, in fact, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're born again, raise your hand. That's just a way to wake you up. You're born again. You raise your hand. You say, I'm born again. If you are born again, you are a child of God, a beloved child of God. God loves you. And God wants you to be free. And we also think, have guilt because we think we got away with sin. We got away with something. Some people don't see the consequence in their life. Now, most of us, I see a lot of gray hair out here. Most of those that are here along with me, you received some kind of punishment back when you were a child when you did something wrong, even in school. In school, we used to have paddles. Y'all young people get this. We had paddles. My shop teacher drilled holes in his paddle so he said he'd get better, less wind resistance when he hit us. Yeah. We didn't have time out. Well, I never heard of that word. No, we got to whoop him. Yeah. But here's the thing about that. When my teacher, and yeah, it happened to me. My teacher took me out in the hall and paddled me. It was over. See, but what that did in my mind, it said, I did something wrong. I was punished. It's taken care of. When we don't see that punishment, we feel like I still have this hanging over my head. God may be graceful to you. God may have shown you mercy by making the consequences of your sin a little bit easier, and you just didn't notice it. But I'll assure you of this, the consequences will come. In receiving God's forgiveness and forgiving ourselves, we aren't absolving ourselves of consequences. All we're trying to do is restore our relationship with our Heavenly Father so that we know that we have no issues between us, so that we can pray and He will hear our prayer and He will answer our prayer. And we can freely work what God has called for us as we deal with those consequences. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the consequences of not forgiving ourselves. A failure to deal with your guilt has the same consequences as your failure to forgive another person. Those things we talked about last week. We're going to experience an emotional bondage by not forgiving ourselves. We're going to experience an uneasiness in our spirit, a cloud of uncertainty about our relationship with God and with others. We will find it difficult to relate. We won't have the ability to minister to people, to share the love of Christ with others when we hold on to that unforgiveness, we hold on to that guilt. We may even suffer those physical damages we talked about last week in the body, because this body has not been created to have the stress of unforgiven sin. And you're very likely to have your self-respect damaged, your self-esteem weakened. You may develop a false sense of humility. The list just goes on. But the end is that there's no good results by failure of dealing with your guilt, forgiving yourself. There are only negative byproducts. So if you're struggling with yourself, ask a question. Ask this: why should I continue to condemn myself when God no longer condemns me? Why should I condemn myself when God says, I'm not condemning you? Isn't that what we read this morning? There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Has God forgiven you of your sin? Do you believe that? You believe that God's forgiven you? On what basis then do you hold on to that unforgiveness? If God has forgiven you, what makes you think you should not forgive yourself? Ask yourself the next question. Is my self-condemnation drawing me into a more intimate relationship with God? I'll tell you this, no. It doesn't. It cannot. Do you know what it sounds like when a person condemns themselves? You hear them say, oh, I'm no good. I'm not worth it. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm going to go eat worms, you know. Didn't we just a moment ago say you are a child of God? Parents, do you like to hear your children speak like that? I'm no good. I'm not worth it. We get on them, don't we? What do you think your Heavenly Father's going to do when He hears you, His precious child, who He loves, who He died for, saying things like that? He doesn't want to hear His children talk like that. Another good question. What good am I doing myself? What good am I doing for others by continually condemning myself? None. No good. Is my unwillingness to forgive myself helping me build loving relationships? No, in fact, it's going to lead you into very bad relationships. When you have a low self-esteem, you're not looking for God's choice in your relationships. You're looking for what I can accept. At least I'll have something, because that's how they feel. Ask yourself this: is my self-condemnation influencing God in any way? In other words, is God going to be impressed with my lack of self-forgiveness? Is God going to be impressed by me carrying around all this guilt? Oh, look at my child. They really feel sorry for themselves. That's not our God. You know, there are religious people today that inflict pain on themselves out of repentance because they think that that's drawing them closer to God. It's not. Is there any scriptural basis for continuing to condemn myself? No. In fact, the scriptures are just the opposite. There is therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation. You know what that means? That God in heaven does not condemn you. So where does the condemnation come from? Well, we know it comes from the devil. He's the accuser of the brethren, right? That's a good one. It comes from those around us, maybe because we have hurt them and we haven't gone back to them and tried to get forgiveness. So they condemn us. But the greatest one is right here. We condemn ourselves. We need to hear the word of God today. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Question number 7, how long is long enough to condemn myself? How much self-condemnation is enough? How much self-loathing is enough? How much hating myself is enough? The time for forgiveness is now. So how do I do it? How do I forgive myself? How do I deal with the guilt that I have been living with for all of these years? Well, I found this. The steps of self-forgiveness, of dealing with our guilt, is the same that we use when we forgive others. We need to make an honest confession of the specific wrongs that we've committed. We need to confess them. And then I want to just use the ABC of salvation. Remember that in Vacation Bible School? A, admit, B, believe, C, confess. Let's use the same thing. Admit to God, I'm guilty. He already knew that, so we're not sharing anything new. Then believe. Believe that God wants you to be free of the guilt. That he is in heaven today. He's looking into your life right now, praying, hoping, wishing that you would just let that go so that he could use you in such a great way. And then confess to God. Make a prayer. I have kept myself in this emotional bondage, God, and I'm asking you to forgive me because I know that that was wrong. I repent of it. Forgive me of it. Help me to move on. And then throughout the day, throughout the weeks, because this isn't something that just turns around, hopefully it will, but it may be something you have to work on for a while because you've been living with the guilt for a long time. You know, you ever move after you've lived in a house for about 10 years? Where did all this junk come from? We have a lot. And you're going to have to move some of this stuff out. It's going to have to come out slowly. But continually reaffirm your faith in God's promises about the forgiveness that you have of him. In fact, speak out loud the word of God. I believe in that. When I read in the morning, I read the word of God out loud. So start reading verses like 1 John 1:9 out loud to yourself. You know, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. Every time you feel that guilt coming back, quote that verse. Quote John 3:16, because you know that God loves you. He loves you so much he gave his only begotten son for you so that you can believe in him and not perish, but have everlasting life. Remember what he said in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Confess those things to him and then act on your faith. Say, God, on the basis of your forgiveness, on the basis of your word, I now believe I've been released from this guilt. I believe now I have no condemnation because you have said that you don't condemn me and that's all that matters. I accept your forgiveness and I forgive myself. I want to be completely free of this sin, of this guilt, of this shame, because of what you have done for me. And help me to walk in that freedom. Help me to walk in boldness. Help me to walk with courage. Help me to leave the responsibility of my sin at the cross, because that's why you went to the cross. And our Heavenly Father desires for you to experience complete forgiveness today. If you're here today and you're not saved, first thing He wants to do is He wants to save you. He wants you to become His child. Receive Him today, and you will be a child of God. He will wash away all your sin. He'll cast it as far as the east is from the west. He'll place it into the deepest sea. He'll remember it no more. You'll get forgiveness. We need to ask God for forgiveness of our sin. Then we need to forgive one another. We need not to hold things over our spouse's head. We need to not hold things over people that we work with, that we live with. And then, beloved, forgive yourself. Confessing, repenting, coming to the Father, asking Him for forgiveness, that should be natural. It ought to be just like breathing. Just coming into His presence and confessing our sin. And doing these things, we will maintain a relationship with God that He will enjoy and you're going to enjoy as well. God cannot use you in any kind of ministry. You won't be able to find your purpose until you come to terms with all this unforgiveness in our life. But when you receive it, you will experience not just God's forgiveness, you're going to experience a life that has been set free. Just choose to experience God's complete forgiveness. And you can do that this very hour. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we have sinned, and we just bring that before You, God. And I know that there's someone here today that doesn't know You as their Savior, and they need You. You're the only answer for them in their life. God, I know that there's a lot of people here that are holding grudges against one another, and we need to deal with that. I praise You for the testimonies I've heard this week of people making phone calls and visits and getting things right with other people and the freedom that You're giving them. But this area that we carry around so much guilt in our life because we know the things that we have done were wrong. God, we need the freedom in that. We just know that You have forgiven us, and we need to learn to forgive ourselves. Speak to these, Your people, oh God. Let this message just live in them, that they may walk with You. And I do pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have an invitation this morning. And during this invitation, I want to invite you to come. Maybe you just need to come to this altar to pray. Pray for the things that, you know, you're struggling with. Pray for your church. But especially those that are here today that may have some questions about salvation. What does that mean? How do I do that? I'd love to have time to talk with you and get some things straightened out. Maybe you're here today and you're looking to join the church, and we'd love to have you. We'd love to have you part of the First Family. So as we stand together and as we sing, whatever your decision, you come on this first stanza. Yeah.